Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un McChicken es solo $1.50. Resulta que ser el héroe de tu primita solo te cuesta $1.50. Por un McChicken, good deal. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hour number two of this Thursday Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. I am Ben. He is Donnie. Thank you for joining us all across the Spiz Grizz Network. Donnie, a short slate in the NBA on this Thursday. There's a National Football League game on this Thursday night in Chicago to start off the second half of this season. And we have Ricky Ratings coming up on the other side of the break as well to get us acquainted to everything. We actually will use his legal advice, Donnie, if he has any, for what is happening with the Michigan sign-stealing scandal and Michigan's response to the Big Ten of any potential punishment the league office is going to hand down to Jim Harbaugh or the Wolverines overall. But hour number two, Donnie, gets started around the association.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. And also, I think Rick has high friends in high places there embedded in Michigan. So we might be able to get some intricate assets here to use and say, you know what? I never thought about that before. So stay tuned for Ricky Ratings coming up there. Looking forward to it.
I'm pretty sure he knows one Mr. Ross. That is the name of the business school in Ann Arbor and a current NFL owner as well. He'll tell you all about his relationships with everybody high up in the sports landscape. Donnie, only two games around the association tonight. As we get going here, the Milwaukee Bucks victorious last night, winning by two at home, despite Giannis Antetokounmpo being ejected, Donnie, for picking up his second technical foul for just staring down somebody. How soft is the association for throwing out Giannis just for having a little fun after a hammer dunk? We welcome in our Sports Grid Radio audience, by the way. It's hour number two of three, live right here on the Early Line on the Spiz Grizz, Sirius XM channel 159. All of our radio terrestrial affiliates now in the fold. He's Donnie, I am Ben. So the Bucks victorious, Donnie. They have won five of their first seven games, but they did not cover last night as a 5.5 point, 6 point favorite, or actually more than that, excuse me, I was looking at the wrong number, as a 12 point favorite against the Detroit Pistons. Donnie, the Bucks are 5-2 in their opening seven games of this year, one of the best records around the association, but only 1-5-1. Tonight, they head to Indianapolis to take on the Pacers, a team that has also won five games. The Bucks booked as a favorite again. They have been booked as a favorite now in all eight of their first games this year. Donnie, what's the focus tonight for this matchup in Indy?
Well, the thing that we take a look at the Pacers, they play no defense. So that total listed at 243.5 sounds ridiculous. And also, let's keep in mind, both of these basketball teams, Ben, played basketball games last night. So these are back-to-backs that were expected close to 250 points total. I'll probably just lean to the under just because that's the way I think it would make a lot of sense here. But also, if we're looking at a team that's better than the other one, look, Milwaukee is markedly better than the Indiana Pacers at this point. But if we're looking at that cheap price, that might lead us to, is Lillard going to suit up in this game? Is Giannis going to suit up in this game? And also, who actually is going to be in the starting lineup for the Indiana Pacers? In this game, I would lean under and go with Milwaukee at this point. But again, in the NBA, you always got to check those starting lineups because we do the show early in the morning. Case in point, yesterday, hey, I love Ben Simmons. Hit his rebound prop. He didn't play in that basketball game. Now, you don't lose the wager on that end of it when you take a prop. But if you take a side going, boy, I love Milwaukee. Hey, by the way, Giannis is sitting this one out. Yeah, that's going to hurt your pocket.
Yeah. Yeah, DRS, the Pacers victorious last night as well. They won by 16, 134-118 at home inside the Gainbridge Fieldhouse. That game goes over a total of 241.5 pregame. In fact, the Pacers have gone over their pregame numbers in 7 of their 8 NBA games this year. In the last 4, Donnie, have all been with a pregame over-under of 238 or higher. So seeing that number at 242 tonight should be no surprise. Tyrese Halliburton last night, 16 points, 13 dimes, a double-double for Indiana's point guard, a guy that does it all for this Pacers side. Again, Indiana, Donnie, 5-3 so far for this season. They have been incredibly solid as well. And as an underdog, they've only been a dog twice, a 13-point dog against Boston. The Celtics scored 155, that game sailing well over. And a 2.5-point dog against the Cleveland Cavaliers. They are 1-1 straight up and against the spread. On the other side, Donnie, again, the Bucks are 1-5-1 ATS this year, despite a 5-2 start to this season. Giannis and Dame playing alongside one another, Donnie, hasn't been the picture that maybe Bucks fans envisioned to start off this year. The two have been off to pretty slow starts this season.
Yes, they have been, and also, but you have to keep in mind, both of these guys are high-volume scorers, so each one of them is going to take away from the other when you play on the same team. They're just trying to figure out who is actually going to get those major minutes in the fourth quarter. Now, granted, they'll both be on the court, but who's going to be handling the primary points of, okay, I'm going to take the shot on this, which play is going to get drawn up for me in clutch time? They'll figure that out right now. It's not a dream scenario, should I say a dream start for the Bucks, but they're two professionals here, and Giannis seems like the guy you can easily get along with, as opposed to saying, like, hey, Dame, you came to my basketball team. It's my basketball at the end of games. He doesn't seem like that type of guy. They'll be just fun, but it is takes a little bit of time to get acclimated on court when two superstars are expected to dominate in with the go time, as we like to say, at the end of a game.
Listen, Dame last night was the leading scorer in the game for the Bucks against the Pistons, 34 points. You see that and you're like, well, what are you guys talking about? Star struggles for Damian Lillard. He was 2 of 12 from 3, 10 of 25 from the floor, 12 of 13 from the free throw line. Donnie, he is at double-digit free throw attempts in 5 of the 6 games he has played for Milwaukee this year. 5 of the 7 that he has played for Milwaukee this season. If there was a free throw attempts prop on Dame, I would bet the over each and every game. He scored 30-plus in 2 of the last 3, but again, he's shooting 40% from the floor and less than 30% from deep. Donnie, as we look at the Bucks overall, again, not great at covering numbers, but still a 5-2 start to this season. They are only 15 cents behind the Boston Celtics at this juncture to win the Eastern Conference. Boston plus 155, Milwaukee plus 170 out east. A big game tonight, Donnie, as well. In Mexico City, between the Magic and the Atlanta Hawks, the two teams that were not in action of the 30 around the NBA last night. But this game in Mexico City, Orlando and Atlanta, the Hawks, a slight 3.5-point favorite. An international game, Donnie, tonight in the NBA.
Yeah, because apparently there's a ton of Orlando Magic fans in Mexico City that can't wait for this game. As the kids say, Ben, we're doing too much at this point here. Now, the 231.5, you know, range, you probably figure they could get over that. But keep in mind, again, you are at elevation here and probably higher than what it is in Denver. So we're going to say, you know what? I'm going to take a back step here. Neutral court, elevation, new country. I'm going under the total in this game.
Me as well, Donnie, because Orlando has played 6 unders in their 7 games. I'm staying under 232.5. But, Donnie, both teams above 500 to start off this season. Yeah. The Magic not favored to make the playoffs, but maybe could be in that play-in tournament conversation in the Eastern Conference. A pretty good price on Atlanta right now to be a playoff team in the Eastern Conference this year. It's minus 245. Rick Horro, our sports professor, joins us next.
Here
on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We are live right here on this Thursday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. I am Ben. Donnie is here, and now so too is our sports professor, Rick Horro, who, if you haven't seen any segments or anything that he has done across the Spiz Grizz Network, you might not know he's a lawyer, but if you listen to him speak for about a minute of time in your life, then you know he is an attorney. And we use that legal perspective, Rick, to talk about the biggest sports story at this moment that has dominated the conversation over the last 2 weeks. That's the Michigan sign-stealing scandal. So many storylines, so many nuances to this narrative, Rick. But at this moment, maybe the most important thing is what punishment the Big Ten is going to hand down and what the Wolverines can do about it. Over the weekend, Michigan was handed a notice by the Big Ten Conference office, Rick, of a potential punishment coming Michigan's way. The Wolverines had a deadline to respond. That was yesterday evening. They sent back the response to the Big Ten. In so many words, Rick, saying, try us. You don't have the authority to use the sportsmanship policy to punish this football program or head coach Jim Harbaugh. The NCAA is already undertaking an investigation. You must practice due process. Let that investigation play out. The facts of the case to arrive, not necessarily just the reporting out there before any discipline can be passed down. And Rick, Michigan has already threatened the idea of legal action in response to any potential punishment. So let's go with that idea of legality. What response, Rick, do you think Michigan can use to pass the buck on any punishment in 2023?
First of all, brilliant summary, Ben Stevens, brilliant summary. And the bottom line is, as people now use these overused words, there's a lot to unpack there. So,
yes.
First of all, the authority. Who can make these decisions? Well, nobody's really tested that particular clause, but commissioners and conferences have that always in some form as a power of a commissioner. Will a commissioner forfeit games? Will he fire people? Will he suspend people? Usually not, but that doesn't mean he doesn't have the power to do it. And so Tony Petitti, who is not a football commissioner type, he's a television type, not to say he's not going to go with the right answer, but just this is something new for him. Kevin Warren, who now runs the Bears, who was the Big Ten commissioner, saying, man, I kind of got out at the right time. But the issue is, who's going to be the guy who tests the theory? And look, everybody around college football will look at this, not just because of do you like or do you not like Jim Harbaugh, but what are the powers of the leagues, of the conferences? And now, with kind of a defanged NCAA looking for some relevance, that's important too.
Yeah. Rick, litigation down the line, let's just say Michigan doesn't have anything happen to them this year. They go to the national championship rounds, they play in the quarterfinals, they play in the championship, and quite frankly, might win the championship. What happens if it turns out that the investigation turns up that they did cheat and they did break, you know, rules for the Big Ten, for the NCAA? Is there any future litigation? Because even with coaches that coached against Michigan going like, hey, part of the reason I lost my job was I couldn't win that game against Michigan. We knew they were cheating and they still allowed them to cheat. Is there anything in the future that we might have to worry about?
A lot of issues there. First of all, you can't have too many lawyers. I love the idea of multi-litigation. Bring it on.
I mean,
second, most people say that they lost to Michigan and then follow up with some excuse. That doesn't mean everybody cheats, but that clearly is a case they could use. And then finally, don't you know how many times on the basketball side, at least, the titles have been quote-unquote vacated? And when you look at the rafters, they'll take the championship banners down, but they realize that they won the championships. So a lot could happen after the events, but I'm not sure that the vacation or the, you know, it doesn't count anymore. That's relatively easy. But to say the team who might have won, they get to play again, that'll never happen.
Well, Rick, that's the very important thing here. The NCAA is already undertaking an investigation. The Big Ten is following the NCAA's investigation. But knowing how the gears of justice grind within the NCAA, any potential punishment would more than likely not be handed down until 2024. So in my estimation, Rick, in the response that Michigan sent back to the Big Ten League office last night, their main defense is, hey, not that we didn't do it, or there won't be evidence to prove that we did break these rules and violated NCAA bylaws. Just you do not have the authority to work outside of the NCAA's investigation to hand down any discipline. And as you said, Rick, which I think is a great point, be careful, is what Michigan told Tony Petitti about setting a precedent of this sportsmanship policy that other conferences will look at, and you might have to enact yourself if you get into the weeds of the dark world of sign stealing around college football. Rick, what do you think Michigan's best defense is to withstand any punishment the Big Ten might hand down?
Well, the first one is a defense that now appropriate in other arenas. We'll stay away from it. Delay, delay, delay. Now, the NCAA, when you say grinding to a halt, Teddy Roosevelt threatened to abolish college football in 1905 because it was too violent. The NCAA is still reviewing whether that's legal. We'll see the opinion shortly. But, you know, the bottom line of the NCAA, glacial movement, as we've said, it's too dueling organizations with general powers in their respective constitutions and enabling legislation. Does the NCAA have to or should defer to a conference slash team? Well, the NCAA in theory ought to be the one who, above all that, can take out the appearance of impropriety, because maybe a team isn't going to be fair in its investigation. But so far, the NCAA hadn't exactly moved on a lot of stuff like NILs. We're still waiting for guidance on where that is. So I'm not sure we ought to put all of our trust in the NCAA itself. There will be a lot of litigation, and maybe, like in television litigation and in NIL and athlete payment, it all clarifies, but it takes a long time, and lawyers get paid a lot of money. You can still go to law school, by the way, and maybe even graduate and argue this case before it comes up.
There you go. Money to be made here. Rick, by the way, money to be made. Let's take a look at New York Mets owner Steve Cohen. Mm. How about this? $8 billion investment on 50 acres around Citi Field, which includes, this is a better investment apparently, than drop a casino right next to the baseball yard. In Philadelphia, we actually have a casino right next to the complex and also a Philly Live. Talk to me about what this means for the revitalizing of the area, and also how much cash is Cohen set to get out of this one?
By the way, one quick irrelevant comment. I was in that Philly Live casino after game six of the Phillies Diamondback series. It wasn't pretty. Yeah. Everybody was kind of standing there saying, what am I going to do? But that's the bottom line. Action, dollars, legal betting. And remember, New York City FC, the team that is supposed to play as part of that development. So it may be a harmonious development play with both of those teams. 1 + 1 = 50. It may be competitive. But what Steve Cohen is doing is becoming a classic real estate developer around a stadium, as opposed to just being a classic real estate developer. Now what he's got to do is he's got to channel that knowledge into buying some real players, a manager, maybe some pitchers.
So, Rick, as we take a look at your Ricky Ratings name, last week, the Eagles and the Cowboys, 27.1 million viewers on average. It was the most watched NFL game of this season. Rick, I'm going to ask you a question, then you have about 45 seconds to take us to break. What does it mean for the National Football League that their highest watched game was not Sunday Night Football, but in that late afternoon window on Fox?
Used to have 45 seconds. Now I have about 28. Thanks a lot. All right, I'm going to try to answer as quickly as I can. 40. Hey, thank you. It's a good idea that a Sunday 4:30 second window game has these kind of ratings. If the Sunday Night Football game next week increases it, that's wonderful. The matchups have been okay, could be better. And look, NFL continues to be the top program, except for maybe one occasional Academy Awards. It is exciting. Yeah. NFL Germany this week, NFL Germany last week. And if you want to know all the stuff about a great NFL, you got to come back after the break with the boys.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Thursday on the Early Line. This Thursday starts the second half of the 2023 NFL season. Week number 10 kicks off tonight in Chicago between the Bears and the Panthers. We'll look at the early line for Thursday night football in just a little bit, as well as the rest of the Week 10 Sunday slate. But as we get going here in the second half, we welcome on Joe Ranieri to this Thursday here on TEL. I am Ben. He is Donnie. The man in the middle is JR. Ranieri joins us live right here on this Thursday on the Early Line. Joe, the hardest working man at the Spiz Grizz, we appreciate your time bright and early on this Thursday morning.
I could not be happier to be here with you guys. I wish we can hurry up, though, because Kevin Walsh is probably going to take another day off, and I'm probably going to have to do the show a little bit later. So I'm all in. I'm in for you guys.
Just wait until they ask you, Joe, to start doing the sports business news minutes that Rick Horro has to do, and you step into the smallest shoes you've ever seen in your entire life. All right, let's reset here after the opening half of this 2023 NFL season. For the second half, that stretch run when things get even more significant on a week-to-week basis. Joe, entering the second half, it's the same team that's favored to win the Super Bowl is entering this year who won the last Super Bowl in number 57. That would be the Kansas City Chiefs, the defending Super Bowl champs, plus 490, but only 10 cents in front of the team they beat in Super Bowl 57, the Philadelphia Eagles, at 5-1. The Niners, the third best price at 6-1. The Ravens, now that fourth best number at plus 850. And the Cowboys round out the top five at 11-1. Joe, as you look at the 10 best prices to win the Lombardi Trophy here in 2023, how many real contenders do you think we have around the NFL entering the second half?
I think we have two, maybe three right now. And I would suggest to folks that if they have not already gotten on the Ravens future wagon, that that 850 on the board right now is probably the last time you're going to see it, because there is going to be a very important game coming up, I believe, next Thursday night, in fact, with the Ravens and Cincinnati. And if the Ravens do what I think they're going to do there, you can say bye-bye to anything even close of 8-9-1. I think the Bengals, I think the Ravens, one of those two teams are going to represent the AFC. And the reason I'm out on the Chiefs right now is that we can't at week nine pretend anymore that this Kansas City Chiefs offense is, oh, they'll be fine. It's just like it's not fine. For them to go to Germany and not score a point in the second half last week against that Miami defense, there is no, we're going to get it fixed. It's broke, and it doesn't compare to what we're seeing in week nine from the Bengals, from the Ravens, from some of these other offensive teams in the AFC. So I'm not sold with the Chiefs. It's certainly not sold with them on plus 450.
How about even taking a look at the overall pricing here to win the Super Bowl? Because the one thing that sticks out is not that the Kansas City Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles plus 490 at the FanDuel Sportsbook and 5-1 respectively on the Eagles at the FanDuel Sportsbook. It's the San Francisco 49ers, only a dollar behind the Philadelphia Eagles, despite having three losses and also a tough game, Joe, coming up this week on the road against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Let's just stick it with the 49ers. Do you agree with the pricing here at the FanDuel Sportsbook that, like, oh, look, they're three straight losses, no big deal, they're right next to the Eagles?
Yeah, well, it's the way they do it. I mean, it's not a big name quarterback. It's not, you know, they don't have the resume or the public support that somebody like the Cowboys do, right? But the 49ers are a very well-coached team with experience and with playmakers. They also made some moves at the trade deadline, of course, to improve their roster. So there's no reason to think the 49ers and the Eagles won't be battling to represent the NFC. Nothing that I've seen from the Cowboys, Seahawks, Saints, Lions, the other teams just under them on the pricing board there, there's no reason for us to think that it's anything other than the Eagles and 49ers. I do think all the value lies on the AFC side if you're looking to get into the future market.
And obviously an important part of this here in the second half, as we get deeper into November, into December, you're going to see the in the hunt graphics, what the projected playoff bracket looks like. That postseason positioning for the seven teams that qualify in each conference is going to be monumental. As we saw a season ago when San Francisco had to travel to Philadelphia. The Eagles right now, Joe, with the best record in the NFL at 8-1, have that 2.5 game advantage over San Francisco, over the Cowboys. They have a 2-game advantage, or a 1.5 game advantage rather, over the Detroit Lions, who are 6-2 fresh off the bye week as well. Philly is pacing the NFC once again as they enter their own bye week with a gauntlet of 4 games on the other side. So at minus 165 right now, the odds on favorite, Joe, for the Birds to be the number one overall seed in the NFC once again. How critical is that in your evaluation of how the NFC plays out this season?
Well, I think the Eagles have done exactly what they were supposed to do, which, and I know Donnie is an Eagles guy, is probably deep down inside a little bit worried. He probably would have liked to have seen them lose one or two of these games leading into the bye, because they have skated by in some spots where, hey, listen, you only play the teams in front of you, right? And you either win or you lose. But we have seen this story play out in years past. They have gotten a lot of breaks, okay? They can thank Dak Prescott and his inability to realize where the out-of-bounds is for that, although they did a great job of A.J. Brown running over Swift there in order to give the game to Dallas, but they haven't had that stretch yet. It's going on a year and a half now, Ben, what we're talking about with this Eagles team getting by in spots where they probably had no business winning the game. But hey, as long as they can keep doing it, I feel the shoe is going to drop at some point here. There's going to be this stretch where, yeah, maybe not those, the negative regression pops in, and hopefully it's sooner rather than later in the season.
The interesting part about that, too, is the Philadelphia Eagles now are so good that unless they play the Chiefs every single week, they don't get any credit for any victories at any time. But again,
what's
that next game up? Philadelphia Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs. There'll be some referendums there, which brings us to the AFC, Joe. Number one seed here, who's going to get it? Sometimes, like, when you grow up and you ask for stuff for Christmas. I want a Nintendo. You know, I want a pair of Nike shoes. I want a starter jacket back in the day. Now I ask for things like, can I please just see Patrick Mahomes on the road in a playoff game, Joe? Now, looking at the odds, plus 240 to be the top overall seed are the Kansas City Chiefs at the FanDuel Sportsbook, followed by the Ravens, Dolphins, Bengals, and Bills. Is there a chance here, or is it just a formality and a foregone conclusion that the Chiefs are just going to be number one and be at home at Arrowhead and away to the Super Bowl we go this year?
Well, I think their path might be obviously a little bit easier than, let's say, the Bengals and the Ravens, because they have to devour one another this season. But the Chiefs, I mean, who in that division? They lost to Denver. Okay, that's great. But, I mean, the Chargers, the Raiders, like, who is going to give the most resistance to the Chiefs in their division? They have, I believe, the easier division, the easier path to win it, and then kind of play their cards however they like it come, you know, week 17, week 18. The Bengals started slow. The Bengals don't have a lot more room for error. And I do think the Baltimore Ravens continue to fly under the radar. They're the best offense and defense in the AFC that nobody wants to seem to talk about. We keep going back to Patrick Mahomes. It's Patrick Mahomes. Yep. That offense is broke, guys. It's not the same. All of a sudden, they're getting a little older in front of us, that that entire offense, in fact, and don't have the same punch they've had in years past. So I am not sold on Kansas City at all.
Right now, Joe, the Chiefs are averaging 23.1 points per game. Last year, at the end of the opening half of the year, they were the best scoring offense in the NFL, averaging nearly 32 points per game. But still, the front runner to win the MVP is Patrick Mahomes. He's the reigning award winner. His team is the reigning Super Bowl champs, and they are the favorites to win the Super Bowl once again this season. Joe, Donnie and I have talked about this a few times this week. There isn't really anybody that is putting up a stat performance in the first half of this NFL season that has been jaw-dropping or mind-boggling or on this historic pace. So if you had to anoint an MVP winner, Joe, in the first half of this 2023 NFL season, who are you giving the award to?
Well, I think, again, what Lamar is doing with a new offensive coordinator, new system, new pieces around him, I think is pretty impressive. I mean, he had a couple of games early on where, not because of him, they didn't drop 30 points a game, because his receivers couldn't catch the ball dead in their hands in the end zone. So his numbers should look even better. I still think, if you ask me, hey, you want to go play this Ravens team or this Kansas City Chiefs team, I would pick Kansas City Chiefs any day instead of picking Lamar and the Ravens. I think Lamar is the front runner for the MVP here, and I think it'll play out that way once he beats Cincinnati next week.
Yeah, the passing yardage for Lamar hasn't been all that great this season. Patrick Mahomes, the third most passing yards in the lead. Jalen Hurts, a top five passing yards number so far, but you have to take into account everything these quarterbacks do, and individual success is correlated to team success in the NFL as well. That pertains for the most valuable player award. Patrick Mahomes, that first best price at plus 240. Jalen Hurts, plus 320. All right, Joe, we'll come back on the other side of the break for a second consecutive segment together to take an early line look at the early lines for the NFL week number 10. That's next here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Thursday on the early line. Welcome back and thank you for joining us all across the Spiz Grizz Network. I am Ben Stevens. Donnie Wrightside is here, and so too is Joe Ranieri for the second consecutive segment. The early line takes a look at the early lines for week number 10 around the National Football League. The second half of the season, Joe, begins tonight in Chicago. It's the Bears and the Panthers. How much do you love football? You will find out tonight. Chicago, a 3-point home favorite. The over-under, Joe, is 38.5. Now, Ranieri, of course, this is not the sexiest game, maybe not the most appealing. Two of five teams that have won two games or less this year around the NFL, two of the five worst teams in the National Football League. But we can bet on it, we can watch it, and it still is football. It's like pizza, Joe. Bad pizza is still pizza. Bad football is still football. So find us some value, Joe Ranieri. What is the best bet for Thursday night football?
God, this is just, I can feel it trying to regurgitate here as I'm even about to talk about this disgustingness. Panthers 1-7, the Bears 2-7. Guys, this is the first time we have actually had to endure a night game where both teams have won less than 25% of their games this late into the season. You got to go all the way back to 2017-18 in order to be able to get how bad this game is really going to be. Don't even get me started about Sunday night. However, there is a trend here in which, if it ain't broke, we're not fixing it, right? Why would we want to go against a 22-7 trend this season that deals with primetime games and the under? There is absolutely no reason why we should buck that trend with two teams that, again, haven't won 25% of their games. We are talking about bad offensive teams, not great defensive teams, but certainly the ineptitude of both offenses will outweigh the ineptitude of the defenses, which means we're in all likelihood not going to get a ton of scoring in this game. How this game opened up at 41 is beyond me. It's probably down to, what, 38 now, 37 and a half. You got, what, 10-mile-an-hour winds, they're saying, or so tonight at Soldier Field. We do know that the Bears and home teams, usually on short weeks as a favorite, are the side to look at, but I don't see any reason to try to decipher who's going to suck less here. I think they both suck, and I think a 22-7 trend is worth backing when it comes to the total. Yeah. Why? It makes no sense to try and find anything else.
Yeah, maybe the best bet in this game is just take the defenses to score a touchdown. Probably more likely to score more than the offenses. And they love turning the football over, talking about both Carolina and Chicago on that one. Let's flip it forward to Sunday afternoon, a game we can all get down with here. The Jacksonville Jaguars and the San Francisco 49ers. The 49ers coming off a bye. They are the favorites here at -3. The Jaguars, maybe the hottest team in the NFL, also coming off a bye as a dog here in Duval County. 45.5 as a listed total. Some other outlets showing a 45 each. Now, also, Joe, double-ended here. Is there a reason why the NFL just wants to say, hey, you know what, guys? You would look really nice in that Sunday night slot. Let's put together San Francisco and Jacksonville and move them there. No, you're right. They gave us the Jets and the Raiders. But back to that game in Duval. This isn't a walkover game. That's a really good football team that's going to be ready for the 49ers. Talk to me about this football game, and also, what happens if we have a four-game losing streak here for the San Francisco 49ers?
Yeah, well, it's going to be concerning, is it not? The 49ers have been pretty good. Give them some credit here over the years. They've been pretty good in this spot, traveling across country in a favorite role. Not exactly a spot that I would run to the window and try and bet here, simply because the Jags are doing something that we haven't seen in a while. I mean, they've now, I believe, they've won and covered 5 in a row. They're 6-2, 38 games of this season. It's their best start since 1999, if you can believe it here. And listen, it's an out-of-conference game, right? You're playing an NFC team coming to your house. If you're going to lose a game, Ben, and we've said this, you're going to lose a game. At a conference is probably the part of the schedule where you're going to want to lose it. So I don't think it's life or death for both of these teams if they lose. But the Jags got to be feeling pretty good right now with their quarterback, their defense, the way they're playing. They got healthier coming out of the bye. I do think there are some question marks with this 49ers team. But again, a week off to be able to work on some things, give guys a chance to rest. I think this is going to be a much higher scoring game than maybe some think here. I do think both offenses, especially early, nobody scripts games better than Peterson. Shanahan out there, they'll probably be more points in the first half than there will be in the second half. But I do think this game's going over in such a low total.
Pretty easy to read for San Francisco this year. Their 5 wins to start off the season, 30 or more points in all 5 victories. In their 3 losses, exactly 17 points in all 3. Yep. They use the bye week, you would assume, to get Deebo Samuel back and Trent Williams healthy, only helping out Brock Purdy. Now, Jacksonville is a 6-2 football team, both in their overall record and against the number. They have covered in all 6 wins. They have not covered in either in 2 of their losses. As an underdog this year, 2-1 against the spread, both straight up and against the number. For me, though, this line is so staunchly San Francisco, I have to think the Niners cover. And I'm going to take it when it's at a field goal here in favor of the Niners before any movement happens as we get closer to Sunday and maybe a hook is added on. But we love reactions, right? We love a Monday morning overreaction. If the Niners drop their 4th straight, oh boy, they're fraudulent. If Jacksonville wins their 6th in a row with a home victory outright over San Francisco and improves to 7-2, it's not the darling team of the AFC South, but maybe a legitimate conference contender around the AFC. All right, next up, Joe, the early lines for week number 10. We got official confirmation earlier this week out of Nashville. Will Levis has been named the starting quarterback for the remainder of this year for Tennessee. The Titans on the road in Tampa Bay this upcoming Sunday as a slight 0.5 underdog, but the money line is really, really close. Minus 102 for the Titans, minus 116 on the other side for the Buccaneers. What do you think the outlook is, Gennari, for Tennessee the rest of this season with Will Levis as their starting quarterback?
Well, that's exactly what it is. It's about getting him ready to be and see if he is going to be the franchise quarterback. I mean, I've said it. When you look at Levis and just his, you know, the couple of games that he has been in at this particular point, boy, does he looks the part, doesn't he? He looks like a Vrabel guy. He's got it feels like he's got a linebacker mentality playing quarterback here. He is a load. He can make all the throws. He's got an absolute cannon of the arm. The only question mark for me was, does he have it above the shoulders, right? Does he can he be an NFL franchise quarterback above the shoulders? Easier said than done. But I do believe that in 1 year from now, Ben, we'll be here next year, and there are going to be an awful lot of GMs and team owners and people having to explain, how did we not draft this kid before the 33rd round? How did we let Tennessee get him? Tannehill's era is over. He'll be with a different team next year, but his role will be clear with Tennessee. He's going to be there helping, helping this kid get acclimated. But I think his talent level alone, like we saw for the brief period with Richardson this year in Indianapolis, I think he's going to win them some games they would never have won with Tannehill or anybody else for that matter. So I do think they made the right decision, and I think it'll go down in history as maybe the steal of that draft last year.
Yeah, I looked for big things this weekend out of both Baker Mayfield and also their Will Levis. I looked to a total to the over in that one. If we get to another game, which maybe a total to the over could be in the cards, that's the Houston Texans taking on the Cincinnati Bengals in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. This line, Joe, opened up at the FanDuel Sportsbook at a 7.5-point favorite for the Bengals. We're now down to 6.5 here, and the line opened up on a total 44.5. That's up to 47. News coming down yesterday for the Bengals, Ja'Marr Chase did miss practice with a back injury. They don't deem it to be too serious, but it's one to keep an eye on. Can we see Houston stay inside the number, or have we seen the best of the Bengals and they're ready to go?
Well, I'm with you. I think this is going to be a shootout, and it's going to be fun. I do think ultimately the Bengals are going to win this game and probably win it going away, but it'll be a closer game, I think, than the final score will indicate. And nobody, and I mean nobody, who watch the Bengals, and we've been saying it here on this show, saying, hey, listen, take what you see in September with a grain of salt. By the time we get to November, these are going to be different teams, and these two teams represent just that. A healthy Joe Burrow versus a hobbled Joe Burrow. You guys have been seeing it now over the last 2 to 3 weeks on what a difference that makes. And whether Chase plays or he doesn't, you know who's healthy? T. Higgins. He is a matchup nightmare for that secondary of Houston. Houston's been decent against the run. Houston is not good against the pass. Cincinnati's not going to need to run the ball because Joe Burrow is going to be able to do whatever he wants to do throwing the ball. This is going to be a fun shootout. Stroud is going to make plays like we've seen him make. There are some opportunities to beat that secondary of Cincinnati here. So I would expect scoring. I just think too much Burrow. They're starting to hit their stride. It's going to be a little welcome. You're not there yet, Stroud, but you're getting there.
The game for this, Joe, the over-under, I should say, 47 points. The Texans, the ninth worst passing defense in the NFL. Joe threw for 348 last week and 2 touchdowns. I would also recommend, if the Bengals win this game and cover, and Joey B is the reason why, jump on the MVP number right now. Statistically, Joe Burrow, like his team in Cincinnati, dug themselves a hole. But if Joe can come out of this, and if the Bengals can win 5 straight and they start to lead back that charge as one of the best in the AFC, the 9-1 price on Joe Burrow to win the NFL MVP is only going to grow shorter. Now, the Texans lost their first 2 games of the year. They did not cover. Then they covered in 4 straight games, all as the underdog, winning 3 of those 4 outright. Their last 2, they have split them, but they have been booked as a favorite in both with 0 covers. All of that to say, as a dog this year, they are 4-1 against the spread. Houston, a really good underdog team, but I think you're getting a slight discount with Cincinnati under a touchdown. Joe, we expect Kyler Murray to make his 2023 NFL season debut on Sunday in the Battle of the Birds. Out in the desert, the Cardinals a slight home underdog at this moment against the Atlanta Falcons. If Kyler plays and Kyler is healthy, barring any setbacks, Joe, might Arizona win their 2nd game of the season?
Oh, this is another awful game. And if I'm Kyler Murray, I am I'm pulling a calf, a hamstring, my thumb hurts. I am not going to take an entire game behind that offensive line. What they allowed? They allowed 7 sacks last week against Cleveland alone. Listen, I get it. I think the plan with the Cardinals is they want to move on from Murray. If nothing else, this is the rest of the season is going to be a showcase to see what they might be able to get for him on the open market. But I in no way expect the Cardinals to do anything other than lose, tank, and get some draft picks.
Absolutely so. A 1.5-point number in favor of the Dirty Birds. I'm not sure you can lay a number with the Falcons at this point. Joe Ranieri, we appreciate the time. Nope. We'll see you on Game Time Decisions and in Game Live. Look at this guy. He never stops. More T-E-L up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rounding out this second hour of a Thursday Live on the Early Line on Sports Grid, I am Ben, he is Donnie, and you know what's coming next. We are never without the lovely Sports Grid app, the ultimate sports betting companion app available for download at both the Apple and the Play Store. Scan the QR code on your screen. 5-star plays within the app. You need all of our insight and info for those best bets. So what is the best bet for Thursday night football? The game is still a game, and football is still football. And you're my co-host, Donnie Wrightside's thoughts on something that I said at the end of the second hour as well. So we are going to hear from you. We'll do that right now, and then we'll hear from Donnie in Fade the Public. DRS, we got plenty of time to break down Thursday night football. We're here for the public right now. What is the best bet for this game? Bears, Panthers, over, under, 38.5, 3-point spread in favor of Chicago. Most of the public loves the under at 38.5. Again, we'll get your thoughts on TNF in just a moment. But as we welcomed on Joe Ranieri for the early line segment, Donnie, I said pizza, bad pizza is still pizza. Bad football is still football. And I heard a groan from the other side of our lovely remote setup. Did you not appreciate that analogy?
Yeah, like for me, like pizza has to be good to be called pizza for me. Like I understand there's, you know, Ilio's pizza, it's frozen, and some institutions across the country put out some bad versions of pizza. I don't actually recognize those places, Ben, as pizza. So bad pizza isn't still pizza to me.
Is bad football still football?
Yes, it is. Yes, two different things.
And Donnie, do you agree with the public on what the best bet is, the under of 38.5?
I actually completely agree with the public. As I like to say, nailed it here. And sometimes the public just gets it right here. I don't know anybody that's waking up this morning and they're like, man, I can't wait for this football game to go over the total tonight. Under.
Yeah, I'm a little scared, man. That's a hefty amount of people on the under. And I know what the trends say, and who are we to fade the trends? We'll track the total for Thursday night football next when hour 3 starts in 55 seconds.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com, SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.